smarterpodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, number 17. I'm Fred Green. Joining me on the show, as always, is the technical specialist for Edwin Watts Golf, Kenny Nicholson. Hey, Kenny.
Good morning, Fred.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great today. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. This is going to be a lot of fun because we've got some people from Callaway coming on in a minute. But before we do that, I want to go right to an Ask Kenny question that we received that I think will lead into the show. Ken Kishihara of Fresno, California asked, will the manufacturers have a universal adapter so that myself or anyone can use one of the Callaway shafts when he has a ping head?
We will obviously be able to answer that question on this show, but I will go ahead and tell you that no, I do not foresee that happening in the near future. I can't predict, you know, all the way in advance, but they spend so much money on research and development for their products that I don't see that that changing anytime soon.
He also wants to know, it's interesting, I'm not that surprised, but he's also interested in knowing is he's got an older shaft that he really loves, and he wants to know if there will be adapters so that he can retrofit his old shaft to one of the new club heads that have the iMix technology or the, you know, component technology to it.
That's a very good question. I don't foresee that happening as well, just because of the weighting. Obviously, the shafts that have the titanium adapter on the end of it are weighted a different way as to change the swing weight and things like that. So I don't see that happening as well.
Hmm. All right. Well, Ken, sorry. You're going to just have to get used to it. But I think what we should do now is move on because we have two guests with us, both from Callaway, and to talk about the iMix technology. And we'd like to welcome Dr. Alan Hocknell, who's the Vice President of Innovation and Advanced Design for Callaway. Alan, thanks for joining us.
Oh, no problem at all.
And then also we're going to have Greg Sabella, who is the Director of Woods Production, correct?
I'm a product director for the woods category, yes.
Okay. And what is that? I mean, let's start with that, defining what you guys do. Greg, let's start with you.
Okay. You know, my job is really to identify holes in the marketplace in the woods category, and then I work very closely with Alan's team and our research and development team and sales to bring those products to market and market those products to the golfing public out there. So I try to identify problems that golfers are having and see if we can't come up with an idea to solve that problem and then beg and plead to Alan's team to either invent that product or show me what they have in their innovation funnel that reaches, you know, years out ahead of where we're at right now.
How do you assess that information? How do you gather the data from golfers?
We do, you know, quite a bit of talking directly to consumers. We conduct surveys. I try to get out into the marketplace, ride around with reps. I was an outside sales rep and worked with consumers a ton, so demo days are a great kind of wealth of information when people are coming out and trying all products, not just Callaway, but our competitors' products, and getting really direct feedback and watching how our products perform. And then last, but certainly not least, is talking to our retail partners out there and seeing what's working in store and really picking the brains of the men and women sales associates that are dealing with consumers on a daily basis.
Very interesting. And Alan, tell us about what you need to be doing when you're the Vice President of Innovation and Advanced Design. Great title.
Yeah, it's a grand title. It really just means that I lead the team that's the front end of the product development process. So we're responsible for the design, the performance, the aesthetics of all of the Callaway golf clubs. We're one of the groups that looks out furthest into the future, looking for new technology. And we're also one of the groups that has a lot of the design tools to simulate golf club performance, to build prototypes, to do a lot of experimenting before we commit to the final product. So it's a pretty exciting part of the company to work in.
I can imagine so. And right now, there's some really exciting things going on. And depending on your perspective, exciting on the new iMix series. And how much did you have to do with the iMix?
Our team actually designed all of the iMix components. And it's a story that goes back several years to a point where in R&D we were doing a lot of player testing, and we were looking for a way to be able to make that player testing move a little faster and be a little more accurate. And we wanted to be able to interchange heads and shafts with one another so that we could see on a more apples-to-apples basis what the exact effect of a certain shaft or the exact effect of a certain head was. And we developed a technology to be able to do that within R&D. And people saw it and thought that that would be a terrific kind of tool to have in the fitting environment. And so we went ahead and modified that to be able to withstand the environment there where you might be at a demo day or in a fit bay. And we rolled that out a couple of years ago into that fitting cart type of device that we now see that is very successful in retail environments. And then from there, we recognized that the ruling bodies might be lining up to ease some of the rules that require the joint between the head and the shaft to be permanent. And we thought we would take advantage of that opportunity to offer a new level of service to people by actually allowing them to be the ones to interchange their head and their shaft.
That brings up, this is Kenny, by the way, Alan, and that brings up a very good point with the USGA changing the rules to where the shaft did not have to be epoxied into the club head. The fit cart that Callaway had obviously was something that has been used for a few years with fitting consumers with the right shaft on launch monitors. Is that, did you guys take that premise and just roll with it from there for the new iMix? Or was it something that you guys knew the rule was going to change a couple years in advance and were preparing for that?
Yeah, we're fortunate enough to have an ongoing relationship with the ruling body. So we had an idea that this might change sometime in advance of the rule actually changing in January of this year. And we were able to prepare for it. And we did think that by surveying consumers, as Greg was saying, that there was a lot of interest from people in being able to change their head or their shaft according to the conditions that they might be playing within. So we felt that the tool had been very successful in the fitting environment, and we needed to change it slightly to make it suitable to the ownership environment, if you like, the playing environment rather than the fitting environment. And we made those changes, and that was what sort of led the design of the iMix parts.
So I guess it begs the question, what is iMix?
Greg, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I'll take that one.
Yeah, Greg, explain to us what iMix is and... Let's start with that. Just explain.
Yeah, iMix is a technology or an enabling system that allows consumers to very quickly and easily interchange heads and shafts, as Alan was saying, really to accommodate the conditions of play or their conditions. So the actual technology is a tip technology that's applied to the tip of the shaft that consists of a machined aluminum tip and a machined titanium cap screw and a few other little parts in there that Alan can explain if need be, but that allows it to fit into a fitting inside of the FTI and FT5 face cup, and with an applied force or torque through the applied wrench, you're able to connect a club in about 10 seconds that is ready for play in terms of all of its durability and mass properties, but is also conforming to the rules now with the rule change. So it's an FTI and an FT5 that we're selling with iMix technology that allows you to do these things.
You guys obviously have a certain component that makes it work, screw into your head. I can answer this, but the consumer would want to hear it from you guys. They ask us, is there ever going to be a universal shaft a screw in or the end cap that will fit into a plethora of drivers?
Yeah, I'll take that, and Alan, you can join in if you wish.
And this is Greg.
Ever is a long time, so I won't say never, but you know, we spend a lot of time energy and hours designing our tip technology for very specific reasons, and therefore it's only going to join with our head. So we have patent protection around it, and there's a lot of intellectual property that went into that design. For a number of reasons, our constructions are also very different than our competitors in terms of we're using multi-material or fusion construction on the drivers that this is available in right now.
Yeah, this is Alan. I think another thing that we think we've done well is that the playing characteristics of the clubs which are enabled to use the iMix system are identical to those which are on the standard glued-together clubs. And that's a piece of proprietary kind of design technology that we've been able to master here over several years. And, that's one thing that we're really proud of, is that you can buy an iMix club that has exactly the same playing characteristics as the parent glued club. That's something that we're probably not likely to want to give away.
Which makes total – sorry, Fred, this is Kenny. Mm-hmm. Which makes total sense. I mean, we're obviously going to stock about between 50 and 70 different shafts that are going to work in the iMix. And one of the questions that we got from one of the listeners was, is this going to take the club fitter out of the equation? And my answer was absolutely not. It's going to make it a lot easier for us as a retailer to put somebody on a launch monitor and get him into the correct shaft. No problem. And you guys don't see that changing any of that as well, do you?
No, this is Greg. Kenny, I actually think it's a benefit for the club fitters, to your point there. One, with the amount of product we have available and the ease in interchanging it, you'll be able to get them in and out of shafts and test performance right there. The other thing is, if, say, I try a shaft and it didn't work great for me or didn't feel great for me, I don't have to ruin that shaft and reshaft it, lose the money I invested in it. There's some residual value there in that shaft once I'm done with it or once I didn't complement my game.
That solidifies my answer, because that was the exact answer that I gave during one of the shows, that I think it's going to benefit the club fitter without a doubt. So
one thing I would add to that as well is, this isn't a tip technology that we're going to obsolete next year. As we continue to innovate in the iMix arena, your shaft that you have this year that you love will most likely or definitely fit into the next version of. So we're not going to go beta versus VHS here, and you have 10 shafts in your garage that you choose from, or 3 heads in your garage that you choose from, and next year all of those are obsoleted because a new tip technology doesn't fit in the current.
Hey, if we're going to talk, cutting edge technology, you got to go to Blu-ray versus HD, the beta, or 8-track and cassette. We can go all the way back to that if you really want to. How many of these units will the average consumer need or buy? Will they have choices in their own bag before they go to the course each day? Is that your hope, or will they just see, this one works better for me, I'm going to buy this and I'm done?
I think, this is Greg, I think we're going to see a little bit of everything. I think certainly there will be people who are tinkerers and love to experiment that will have multiple components. They may have 2 heads and 2 shafts and 4 golf clubs can be made out of that, or 1 head and 1 shaft. I think what we're trying to do from our approach to selling iMix is not force the consumer or the golfer to say you should have 2 of these and 3 of these, or 1 of these and 2 of these. Certainly there will be people who buy 1 and 1, and just like the security of being able to switch it themselves or easily if they choose to do so. And I would say there will be plenty of people who have multiple head components and or shafts for different conditions of play, similar to putting, Kenny, in your part of the country where you have Bermuda grass and people add loft to their putters, versus putting on hard bent grass where they can reduce loft to achieve the benefit they're looking for.
That's a very good point. What is Callaway's position on interchangeability?
Alan, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I think so. We've obviously embraced that. It was a goal that we had to be one of the first into the market with a system that took advantage of the the new opportunity allowed to golfers by the change in the rules. So for interchangeability in the driver world, I think we've already made a statement there. As for how it applies to the rest of the golf bag, we're still researching really what benefit people would get from different forms of interchangeability. So we knew that in drivers there was a lot of interest in various shafts, a lot of interest in optimizing trajectory through loft or the draw bias or the neutral kind of characteristics of the heads. We're not so certain that some of that carries through directly into fairway woods and hybrids and irons. But then equally, in the short game, there are a number of circumstances where people would like to be able to alter the characteristics on a day-by-day basis according to how they're feeling or according to the conditions of the course. So we're actively researching different ideas around there. It's, as I say, still a research stage, though, and we're keen to involve golfers before we commit to any one technology.
That's our stance as a retailer as well. We know, being in the golf business, that the shaft is the engine that drives the machine. So trying to put somebody into an iMix, they're going to spend a little bit more on the initial purchase. Let's say they're using a 10-degree regular with an NV65 shaft this year because that's what fit them this year. And next year, that driver might not be playing as well as it was the year before. So the easy fix here is, okay, let's fit you into a new shaft, and now your purchase price is going to be a whole lot less than if you had to go out and buy a new driver. And with the stable of shafts that's going to be available in the iMix, you can make a 10-degree driver do a ton of different things based on just the shaft. So I think it's going to be very good for the consumer to get into this product with knowing that they'll be able to simply buy a new shaft and change the dynamics of the golf club.
Yeah, I would. This is Greg. I would add to that and say certainly they'll be able to change the feel of that golf club, which may drive performance. But if you're looking to change trajectory or change shot shape significantly, it would be quicker to do that or easier to accomplish that for both the fitter and the player by switching head design. In other words, if you hit the ball too high right now with your 10-degree stiff flex NV green and you want to bring your ball flight down, it's going to be a heck of a lot quicker to switch to a 9-degree or an 8.5-degree than it is to find a shaft combination that's going to lower your trajectory with that same 10 degrees of loft. So lots of opportunity there to change things, and certainly the shaft is a big part of that. But mass properties of the head are going to significantly change ball flight by moving weight around and changing loft, probably more so than that shaft will.
But for most golfers, and I hope that you agree, I would think that you agree that most golfers are not as good as they want to be. No one is ever happy with their game, and most golfers are not single-digit players.
Correct.
Is this going to be more confusing than anything? I mean, because, you know, it's like they're thinking, and I've played with guys who are out there thinking, you know, that blame their club for every shot they take. Oh, I picked the wrong club. Oh, the lies. Or, oh, my shaft. But, you know, they rarely take responsibility for what they're doing out on the golf course. And I'm thinking that this might be another excuse for them. But is it really going to help them?
I think certainly it may be another excuse, and we're all looking for more excuses when we hit a bad shot. But I'll tell you, you know, customization of, in particular, the driver has spans more than just the low handicap player. I think, you know, the avid golfer who plays different courses or plays in different conditions can certainly benefit by changing loft or changing club setup before they go. And, you know, if you're not that player in terms of your mindset, not your skill set, then buying a traditionally assembled club is probably a better choice. And certainly we're not going to sell, or we're planning to sell, more traditionally assembled clubs than we are iMix-compatible clubs. I won't call it a niche market, but I'd say there's a certain player mindset that is really going to appreciate this. And those same players may benefit from all the options there. The confusing part of it is, you know, there are so many options available now with traditionally assembled clubs that I don't think we're really adding the confusion, rather enabling an easier opportunity to jump in that game.
I think, this is Alan, I'd probably add to that, sorry, I'd like to add to that that maybe one option for people who are just encountering this technology for the first time is to visit the website that we've established, where we have an online fitting tool which can actually guide you through the fitting process, so that you can at least get to the starting point of deciding from amongst the combinations of heads and shafts that are appropriate for you. And from there, you can then maybe work with a retailer to actually discover through trial the exact combination that's best for you and the exact combinations that do alter ball flight for you.
Do you have the URL of where online we can find that? Do you know what it is?
Yeah, you can get to that from the CallawayGolf.com website.
Okay, CallawayGolf.com. All right. And I'm curious now, I'm sorry if I'm being tough on this one, but is this ultimately more of a benefit for the retailers and for the manufacturers than for the consumer?
This is Greg. I'll jump in on that one. I think, you know, the way we looked at this from its initial kind of concept in terms of how we would bring this to market or why we would bring this to market, we truly looked at it from a consumer standpoint and said, you know, what happens out on tour on a daily basis, or a weekly basis, I should say, is pros tinker with their golf clubs and change things to try to get the right weapon in their hand before they go out and play. And consumers, I think, would appreciate the opportunity to do the same thing. So we kind of ran through some scenarios, and I would direct, you know, golfers back to our website as well to kind of run through these. But we looked at it and said, what are scenarios that golfers face every single day, and how can we accommodate them to approach those scenarios? For example, if you're playing in wet conditions versus dry conditions, certainly carrying the ball further on a wet day or playing in the rain is going to benefit your driving because you're not going to get any roll. So you want to carry it to its furthest point. If you're playing in a dry day, you could potentially benefit by lowering your loft and or shaft combination, flattening your trajectory and hitting a longer drive, benefiting from the roll. So that was a condition that we thought certainly people face that. Being in Florida and Southern California, we certainly don't face this one as much, but beginning of the season, you know, if I've been in the snow for 5 months and my first couple rounds out, I may benefit from having a higher lofted head and a softer shaft, and as I work into kind of golf shape, I would change shafts and go to a lower loft or a stiffer flex and change heads and go to a lower loft to accommodate my game. So those are kind of two examples, and a third pretty obvious one is where you play your golf. If you play a course that's wide open, you may be able to build a longer shaft on, say, an FT5 and kind of swing out of your shoes without too much penalty if you hit it offline. Or if you're playing a course that's tree-lined and tight, you know, an FTI may be a better choice with potentially even a shorter shaft or heavier shaft to keep it in play. So those are three of the kind of six examples we have where we think people who play golf certainly experience these conditions and could benefit by having, you know, different setups.
And this is primarily drivers we're talking about now.
Correct.
And what is the future for fairway woods and irons, or did that not get approved?
Alan can probably speak to the approval part. I believe it's the rule change accomplishes the same thing across the product line. And Alan,
yeah,
you can correct me.
Yes, Alan. Yeah, absolutely. I believe that the rule change applies to all the swung clubs. So it's certainly possible. And from a technical point of view, we've proven that we can do something like that in the fitting environment. Now it's just a matter of determining two things, really. One, whether golfers are really interested in the capability to do that throughout the entire bag, and understanding what benefits it might provide to them throughout the entire bag. And two, can we design something from a design point of view that actually works with our clubs that would go into that sort of ownership environment rather than the fitting environment?
Well, you had mentioned, Kenny, do you have something to ask?
Well, I just, no, I didn't want to add something, but something that I wanted to bring up real quick. The FT5 and the FTI with the fixed shaft, not the IMIX technology, are those going to stay in the stable of golf clubs that you offer?
Yes, they will.
Okay.
And you had mentioned before about tour players, and we've got the Masters coming up soon as we're recording this. Is there anybody on the tour that is taking advantage of this, and will they get the hype? I mean, when you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about every nuance of every club. This is quite unique on the tour, I would think, this year. Is anybody taking advantage of it?
This is Alan Elmer. I'll take that one. In the past couple of years, we've worked closely with Phil Mickelson on his driver setup, and obviously in the last couple of years he's used two different drivers. This year, it's very likely, because we've been working closely with him on it again, that he'll have an IMIX-enabled FT5 in his bag. And he has a couple of different shafts that are of different lengths and different stiffnesses that he has for that. He has a couple of different lofts also, and it's my hope, although we'll wait and see, that he might be able to change the characteristics of that driver according to whether Augusta is very wet or whether it's rolling or whether the weather is windy and things like that. And he might take that setup and use the same setup all week, but it's certainly something now where he has a stable of components to choose from, and he's very excited about that opportunity. And it would probably mean that we've been able to optimize the driver so he only has to carry one driver this year, and that's when I let him put an extra wedge back in his bag.
As far as other players, is there any other players that you guys see using this product in the near future?
I think, this is Greg, the rollout to tour is kind of, you know, they were introduced to the concept, but the rollout to tour, the clubs being on the conforming list, is still in a bit of its infancy. Ernie Els did put one into play a few weeks back in one of the tournaments. Ernie plays our FTI driver, which is the square driver, and he put an IMIX version in there as well. And as far as further down our stable of players, I think it's, you know, probably too early to tell right now, but they certainly have benefited from the technology as far as being able to try different things out on tour. And then in the past, they've had to then try to match those specs in a traditionally assembled club or glued together club out on the van. The benefit out there for not only our builders but our players is going to be, hey, I'm going to try these three different heads with these three different shafts, and when I find the one I want, I can put it right into my bag and know that it's the exact one I just tested with. So I'm pretty optimistic that we're going to see IMIX product in play on tour in the very near future here.
Very good. There's some other products I want to get to before we close with you guys, but I want the listener to know that when the manufacturers have a new product that's being launched, we obviously have product seminars where they have their rep come in and explain the product to us and the benefits and features and the bells and whistles and everything. But I want them to know how simple it is to change these shafts with the torque wrench. Obviously, it, you know, once it clicks, the shaft is locked into place. It can only go into the hosel one way, so it's very user-friendly and very easy to use. I don't want it to come across as being something that's very complicated, because it is definitely not that.
Yeah, and I'll jump in there. This is Greg. That was probably a big challenge for Alan's team. Is one of our request was to make it very, very user friendly, and you're exactly right. There's an alignment aid on the tip of the shaft. There's a chevron, which is kind of our alignment marker that points towards the top of the crown when you insert the club into the head. The wrench is labeled, you know, this side up and turn this direction, and it slides on only one way. And in about, you know, four turns, it clicks into place and you're ready to go. So first time you use it, you may be a little clumsy because you haven't held a head in a shaft and assembled it. After you do it once, and Kenny, your experience with our fitting version of this can probably back this up. You know, it takes all of about 8 to 10 seconds once you've done it two or three times.
Oh, it's extremely easy. Anybody can do it. Which is, you know, you guys, when Alan's team makes something, obviously they have to take that into consideration, and they hit a home run with this, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, thank you. That was definitely something that we tried hard to do, so I'm glad that people are seeing the benefits of it. You know, the IMEX system's bristling with technology, machined aluminum, titanium, anodized parts, taper locks, locking patches, and all sorts of things.
With the IMEX technology, obviously there's a price point involved there, and it might not fit everybody's budget. And I want to bring up one of your other new products that should fall into anybody's budget is the new HyperX driver that's available with Callaway. And if you want to give the benefits and features of that product, would be wonderful.
Yeah, I'll take that. This is Greg. Certainly, we try to offer products and technologies in all price points, and HyperX falls a little bit below that in terms of price points of IMEX. But what's exciting about HyperX is it's a all-titanium construction that features a very new and innovative face technology that we think will benefit golfers in a huge way. And we're calling that hyperbolic face technology. And what it is, in pretty simple forms, it's strategic shaping of face thicknesses and a geometry that's applied to the back of the face that allows better performance and increased ball speed on your off-center hits. So we talked earlier about not everybody hitting the center of the face every time. Kind of a challenge to Alan's team was to better our face technology, our great face technology in VFT that we've had in the past, and come up with a pattern or a geometry to increase distance when you don't hit it on the center of the face. So HyperX driver is really an all-around solid performer wherever you hit it, whether it's high on the face, low on the face, in the heel of the toe, and obviously right in the middle. You maintain your ball speed, which means you maintain your distance. And Kenny, I think you guys will see this very clearly when this product is hit on a launch monitor. You just don't see ball speed variation when people move it around the face, whether it's intentional or unintentional. It maintains that distance that people are looking for when they hit it in the center of the face.
Right. I actually have had the benefit of seeing the driver used on a launch monitor, and that's one of the huge pluses because not everybody's going to hit it in the sweet spot every time. So one of the big advantages or selling points for this driver is on off-center hits, the lack of speed that you're going to lose and the lack of distance. It's very small. It's very insignificant, and that's one of the huge selling points for us is when you're hitting the club or the ball a half-inch off-center, a quarter-inch off-center, you're not losing that much distance. So very good point.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's, you know, kind of the shape of the club itself. And, you know, looking at what we were trying to accomplish with this driver, you know, distance is achieved by not only ball speed but by launch angle and backspin. Right? That equates to your trajectory or how far you hit the ball, the combination of kind of those three things. So in designing HyperX or kind of preparing that product, we wanted to choose a shape, and Alan's team chose a very specific shape to accommodate the goals we were looking for. And what we get out of that is a very, very high inertias in terms of its twisting properties, not only left and right for shots in the heel and toe, but also up and down. And the benefit of that to the end user is you get a very consistent ball speed, which we've talked about through that face technology, and then through the shape of the club, the inertias, and the center of gravity position, you get very consistent launch angle and spin rates on those off-center hits. So your bad shots end up not only looking like your good shots, but really performing like your good ones. It's a very consistent spin rate all over the face and a very consistent launch angle. And those are variables that ultimately equate to distance. And the more distance consistency we can build into a golf club, I think, benefits the end user who doesn't hit the center of the face every time.
Alan, I'm curious to know if you or your attorneys have heard from Apple Computer saying, wait a minute, we own the letter I.
Yeah, you know, I think we've spent a lot of time working on improving the mass properties of golf clubs. It's something that we do pretty much every day, and finally we've kind of communicated that to people that the letter I stands for inertia, so we'll take Apple on with that. I'm joking.
And you heard it here first, friends.
Alan works so closely with all of the tour players, and I want to know, you know, with such a large stable of tour players out there, how often do you get to work with these guys? Is it a yearly process, or do you work with them in the off season to get them geared up for the start of the golf season? How does that work for you guys?
Well, each player is a little different, but many of them prefer to work in the off season to learn about the new equipment that we might be producing, and maybe spending a little time to get used to it before they get into the main part of the season. But the truth is, for a lot of players, the season doesn't really have that much of a break through the November, December, January timeframe these days. So it actually becomes more of a continuous process, and we will work with a lot of players throughout the season as well, particularly coming up to various major events and things, particularly where the conditions of the course might be a little bit unusual. So we have regular communication with our tour department. We go to the tour events as well. We have an internal sort of website where we can communicate with one another also. And from that, we learn a lot of things from players. They put our clubs into the most extreme of environments. And they thankfully learn a lot from us too about what the clubs are supposed to do and how they might benefit from that. So it's an ongoing process, really, and we're very lucky to have that available to us.
All right, well, this is all absolutely fascinating, and I would love to get to a demo day and check one of these out myself. But, Greg, we've got listeners out there who are chomping at the bit. Do you think it would be possible that we might be able to give something away to one of our listeners?
You know what? It would be possible. I would love to give away an IMIX head of their choice and an IMIX shaft of their choice, and have them get out there and experience it for themselves. I think it's going to help their game, and I would be happy to give one away.
Oh, thank you very much.
Awesome. Hey, Fred, can I enter?
No.
Oh, gosh.
Only if I get to, Kenny, because I'm doing the drawing.
Man, what? Hey, Greg, thank you very much. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
And, Alan, thank you very much. We really appreciated both of you coming on today and your generosity, not only with your time, but with product as well.
No problem. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks
guys,
for having us.
Thank you very much. I know we could spend about 8 hours and still not cover all of the products that you guys have, but they can obviously go to your website or our website as well and learn about all of the fascinating products that Callaway has to offer. And guys, thank you very much for spending some time with us.
Okay, take care.
All right, well, if you would like to win your very own Callaway IMIX head and shaft of your choice and your specs, just go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the word contest. Once you're there, fill out the shipping information and the verification code and click submit. And we will do our drawing and announce the winner on the show of April 17th, 2008. Your deadline for entry will be April 15th. You have many deadlines this April 15th. And one of them is to win yourself a Callaway IMIX head and shaft. Kenny, that's going to be a nice prize. That's really
man, great. I need to read the restrictions and verify that we're not eligible for that. Because I tell you what, man, that's a
you really like this thing, don't you?
I do. I think it's a great golf. I mean, I've had the benefit of being able to try the golf club with a launch monitor and saw the benefits that it has. And I think
did you notice more distance? Did you a straighter shot? What did compared to what you usually play? What did you notice?
I mean, when you talk about distance, I mean, when a guy hits a driver, let's say a medium to high handicapper, for some reason you hear that, you know, I hit this 20 yards further than my other driver. And for some people, that can be the case. But when you're a lower handicap player or even a pro, if you see a couple, you know, 3-5 yards distance gain, that's a big plus, especially if you're keeping it in the middle of the fairway. I did see a little bit of distance increase, and I think that had to do with being able to get fitted for the exact loft, launch angle, spin rate, and club head speed. So, you know, being able to attack all of those on the driving range on a launch monitor because they had every shaft available for us out there and every head configuration, it was easy to get fit right into the perfect golf club. So, yeah, I did see some increase in distance as well as off-center hits.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure that based on this conversation, we're going to get a lot more questions from the audience about this technology, and we would love to be doing more Ask Kenny questions, but we have such a phenomenal lineup of guests coming on and for the future for Golf Better. It's going to be hard to get a full show of Ask Kenny, and we apologize to you for that. But Kenny sent out an email to the industry saying, we're doing this program, we'd love to have you on, and they have jumped on it. It's been remarkable.
Yeah, we're pretty much filled up all the way through the end of the year. Yeah. So, but what we're going to try to do,
and I keep bugging you,
still,
can't we do an Ask Kenny, please?
There's going to be some more Ask Kenny segments in there. We're going to make sure we include a few of those throughout the year. But obviously, what we're going to try to do, this show carried over a little longer than we had expected. But yeah, at the tail end of some of these shows, we're still going to, you know, do about 10 minutes of Ask Kenny, because these questions are very important for us to answer. You know, because that's our bread and butter. That's our consumer out there asking these questions. So we want to keep that a vital focus as well.
Oh, good, good. Well, listen, we received 260 entries for our last drawing. You remember that one?
Yeah, and we have five winners.
We have five winners because they're each going to win a box of Nike golf balls based on the conversation we had with Rock Ishii on our last episode. And he talked about the different Nike golf ball products. And so each winner will get to choose whatever box they would like of Nike golf balls. They'll get 12 balls. So that's why we're having five different winners. So, Kenny, number 1 through 260, you get to pick five different numbers. And what would you like to do today?
I'm going to go on some birthdays and some ages and stuff of my kids. So I'm going to go
figured
with,
as much.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brooklyn's birthday. Or she's 8, so we're going to go with number 8.
Okay, number 8 is Raul Chavez of Anaheim, California. Congratulations, Raul.
Okay, and Holly's birthday is on the 29th, so we'll use the number 29.
All righty. Well, congratulations to a listener in Brighton, Colorado. That's Michael Mapes. He is also a winner of Nike golf balls.
And wonderful. I wish I was
three more, places. Kenny. Don't you know anybody who's 260 years old or was born 1260?
We'll throw a high number in there.
Thank you very much.
obviously, we're going to go with 68.
Luckily, you only have two kids. 68. What is that?
My
when you were born?
Year.
Yeah. Okay. And that's from Ellicott City in Maryland. Michael Blum is a winner.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Congratulations.
A couple Michaels there for you. And you're not going after my kids' names, but that's one of my kids' names. Go ahead.
How about that? And then I'll just randomly pick some
Thank
numbers.
You.
175.
Number 175, Palatine, Illinois, is Paul Zimmerman, and he is a winner. Oh, boy.
And
that is 4.
Yeah, the last one, 243.
Number 243. Is Warwick, New York. You cover the country on this one, pal. Warwick, New York, Adam Hansen, number 243. Well, five winners, Nike golf balls. Congratulations to all of you. And you please, Kenny will be in touch with you. You'll be in touch with us, of course, if you're listening. And if you have any questions for Kenny that you'd like to ask, give us some ideas of future episodes we've got coming up, Kenny. Who are the people we talk to? Maybe that's going to spur some more questions.
I mean, looking into the future, we have Bob Vokey. Obviously, if you've heard of Vokey Wedges by Titleist.
I'm so excited about that show.
We've got John Ashworth. Obviously, if you play golf, he's synonymous with clothing, with the Ashworth clothing line.
Yeah.
So those are some of the people we have coming up in the near future that we're very excited about.
Yeah, all the major manufacturers are coming on. They want to talk about their product. They want to explain what they are. This is very cool stuff.
Really excited. Really excited. So congratulations to all the winners. And don't forget to visit EdwinWattsGolf.com or any of our fine retail locations if you're near one. But thanks again, Fred. Really enjoyed it.
And if you have any questions, comments, or things that you'd like to share with us, of course, you can communicate with us in a couple different ways. Of course, you go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the Ask Kenny button. Or if you have something for me, you can just click on the Hey Fred button. And we always love your feedback on the show and your suggestions. You can do that through either of those methods. Or another way to do it, we'd really appreciate if you wrote a review in iTunes or wherever you find our show. These reviews are good for us, but it also shares with other listeners who are looking into podcast content, golf podcast content, what you think of the show, and it means a whole lot more about what you say than it does what we say. So again, this is Fred Green. That's Kenny Nicholson. And we really appreciate you being there for another episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf.